This is the Spencer Wilson Show.
Travis Ishikawa hits one in the right. The Giants win the pennant.
Trying to fight up a shot. Block, loose ball, 1 second, and Nevada wins.
Oh! Oh!
This is going to be a tough play.
Here's your host, Spencer Wilson.
Oh, yeah. Good evening or good evening. I keep doing that. I keep telling myself not to do that. I'm so used to saying it. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome inside ESPN Studios. This is the Spencer Wilson Show. I'm your host, Spencer Wilson. Sean Cloud's on the board.
Good afternoon, Reno.
Haley's also in here with us.
Good afternoon.
She doesn't have headphones on, but we can all hear. lot to get to. We'll talk. I'm going to talk NBA draft. Obviously, as a Suns fan, I'm going to recap all of my feelings about the Suns drafts. I will also talk the rest of the NBA draft, give you a World Cup update, baseball standings update, so you haven't gotten a lot of chance to talk about baseball. We also have Matt McGovern on the show, the president of the World Fighting Championship. Got to talk to him earlier today, so that's coming up in the next segment. But first and foremost, we got to talk about some of the local sports. Obviously, a very fun story. We just heard Brian and Alex get to talk to Kendall Stevens, just signed with the Orlando Magic this morning. That's a very, very fun opportunity for him, especially with some of the draft picks that Orlando had, and we'll get more into that later. But super, super exciting to see a Wolfpack alum and Wolfpack player getting out there and getting another chance at the next level. So it's very, very cool. But let's talk about the two teams that are right now in the midst of their season. And let's start with the Reno 1868 FC. And I want to clear something up because I don't think we did this last week, and it's been eating at me. We figured it out. So 2 weeks ago, Sean and I were having a discussion about the 1868, and he was looking at the team's website. I was looking at the USL's actual site, and he had two extra games than I did, and we just kind of were like, I don't know what this is. We thought maybe someone had messed up.
We'd figure it out eventually.
But it hit me that night. I think it hit Sean the next morning or that night as well, and we came in the next week like, I can't believe we didn't think about this. So with your league play, there's always usually a cup that you're playing for as well in the world of soccer, and the United States is no different at the club level. They have what's called the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open tournament, and so basically it's open to Major League Soccer teams, open to USL teams, NASL teams, and maybe some other semi-pro leagues as well, but it's just a giant tournament, and those were the two games that we could not find, because I was looking at the USL site, which is just showing us league games, not overall games.
Right.
So we got that squared away, and they still have not lost a league game since, I think, April 21st?
Yeah.
April 14th, April 21st, somewhere right at the start of the season, they still have not lost a league game. So very exciting for them coming up. They have a game tomorrow, but they are on the road, I believe, at San Antonio. But they just got done playing Orange County Soccer Club, which is a team that is also in the playoff race right now in the Western Conference, just like Reno is as well. And they like I said, they've stayed undefeated for 11 games now in the league play, and they stay perfect on the road. This is another road game. They drew 2-2 last Saturday night, which is a point. You get a point for a draw, so you're making headway towards the top. The last four games have been win-win, draw-draw, so it's a lot of good results there. It's a total of 8 points through four games. That's not bad at all. Reno jumped out to a quick lead. Brian Brown converted a penalty kick, gave him a 1-0 lead, I believe, in the 55th minute. And then kind of that struggling, that on-and-off defense we've kind of seen this year from Reno. They gave up another goal, a goal in the 62nd minute to Thomas Enevolden. I didn't practice his last name. We're getting back to that.
It's not a good show unless Spencer messed the song's name.
Exactly. That's back when we were on one of our sister stations before this show. We, or at least I, had a heck of a time pronouncing names.
I just didn't
names.
Even try.
Yeah, Sean was smart and just let it go.
It gives people something to tweet at you, be like, you got this wrong.
Yeah. That, surprisingly, no one did, though. Not yet. They're not mad enough yet. But they scored there in the 62nd minute, and then his teammate, another Thomas Joel Nielsen, His last name is Nielsen. There's a hyphen and a name before that. I don't know how to pronounce it. But he scored 7 minutes later and made it 2-1 Orange County. And as time was winding down, Danny Musovski tied it up in the 83rd minute and just buried a kick about center of the box. And then he also almost hit the winner in the 88th minute, but didn't get it. But they still got out of there with the draw. And like I said, they'll play tomorrow night against San Antonio. Reno currently sitting in 7th place in the Western Conference. Of course, the top 8 will make the playoffs. So still in playoff contention. So keep the support, keep all the good feelings going for the 1868. Now let's talk about the Reno Aces, because they were coming off a really solid streak of 4-1, and then they ran into Omaha, who was a tough team, and they just weren't able to kind of get over that hump. And you wonder when that kind of gets to a team. It looked like Omaha was able to kind of pick up some loose pieces from the Aces in that series. But still, 3 out of the 4 games were very competitive, and you can't – I mean, 5-9 was the first game they lost, but that's competitive. 8-6, and losing 4-6, those are all competitive games. Then, of course, you had the 2-9 loss there at the end, which, again, you kind of wonder if everything kind of caught up. But then they started off their series against Vegas, which is a team they've had success. They were 3-2 against Vegas going into the game last night, and it was a wild one. And there was a play. Sean was on the call – or on the – not the call, but was running the board last night, and
Yeah, it was wild. It was pretty crazy. I actually named it a crazy play. So this is how it went, actually.
And the 2-1 home to Conlon. He bunts it hard. First base side in between Crable and Crone. Crable, though, picks it up, flips it to Crone. They throw to second base. They've got Colon in no man's land. And Vargas tags him out for the final out of the inning. The ball was bunted hard. Crone was charging from first. Crable came off the mound. The ball split him. But Crable went into a slide, made a backhanded flip to Negron, and then Colon, I guess, feeling like the ball was going to be a base hit, rounded second base, and he is thrown out.
So that was the crazy game, one of a few crazy things that happened in the game last night. Unfortunately, Reno came up a little bit short in that game, but there were still some great performances. Christian Walker, responsible for all the runs last night, he's been playing really well.
Very strong. His bat's going off right now.
And then we also had Yunel Caracuto, who got his hitting streak up to 10 games last night. Very impressive there. And then a Kevin Crone went 2-for-3. And Crone, ever since the Tennessee trip, Crone's been just an animal up at the plate.
I'm just scared that Arizona is going to pick him up and then the Aces go back down again.
Yeah, that's the fear of minor league baseball.
It's like when you do good in minor league, they're going to bring you up. So
yeah, exactly. Which is a good and it's a happy and sad moment. We're sad because we lost a player that can help our team win a championship, but also you just got to go up to the next level. Yeah. That's pretty cool. So they were able to kind of match each other. It was really kind of a back-and-forth game. They each scored a run in the 4th inning, and then Vegas was able to jump out in the 6th, score 2 runs. But Reno, which we've seen them struggle to respond. It's been nerve-wracking to see them get down this year because you don't know, A, if they're going to be able to respond, and B, how well of a response it's going to be. And so you go down 3-1. They immediately respond to get 2 runs in the top of the 7th inning and make it 3-3. And then it's all once you respond, though, it's about holding off that next charge, and they just couldn't do it. And Vegas put up 2 runs in the bottom of the 7th.
Yeah, and going into like the top of the 8th, we had 2 runners on. We had the potential of getting it, and once again, we couldn't pull together to get those runs in. Then we go into the top of the 9th, and it was just a 1-2-3 inning. There was no stopping them at that point.
And that's kind of been the left on bases number for some of these games, and the Aces have been really crooked throughout the season.
Right.
And, I mean, you're not going to get everybody in all the time, but to have 18, 19, 20 guys left on base throughout a game, that's you're never going to win a game if you've got that many guys left out there.
Agreed.
But you know what? They've still got – is it 3 more games in Vegas?
I believe it's 3.
So I'm pretty sure it's a 4-game series. So I have 3 more games left. Game 2 will be tonight at 7:05 is first pitch. Pre-game starts at 6:50 over on our sister station of 6:30 a.m. Of course, Ryan Radke, I believe, will be on the call.
He will.
So tune in to hear him and support the Aces as they just continue to keep fighting. They're not out of it yet. They're down. And they're still got a fairly long way to claw back up, but you can't lose hope until August. You probably lose hope in August.
Yeah, right.
And give yourself a month and a half, and then you can lose hope.
Exactly. And they will be back home on Monday, the 25th, for a 4-game series against Salt Lake.
Oh, perfect. So they're coming right back home after the series in Vegas, and it looks like they head right back out on the road. Is that right, Sean?
Yeah, right back out to Tacoma.
So a short homestand, but fun to get out there and support them, especially against a team like Salt Lake, who they've had some good battles with this year.
Right.
So we're going to take a commercial break. After we come back, Matt McGovern, the president of the World Fighting Championship, will join us. That's coming up on the Spencer Wilson Show here on ESPN Radio 94.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Spencer Wilson Show.
Welcome back inside the studio. So this morning I got the pleasure and the opportunity to talk to the president of the World Fighting Championship, Matt McGovern, if I can say his name right here. A lot of M's there. They have an event here in Reno. We'll talk a little more about it after the interview, but this is how it sounded. Joining me here in the studio is Matt McGovern. He is the president of the World Fighting Championship. Matt, thank you for joining me here in studio. How was the travels into Reno?
It was started at 4:30 this morning in Henderson, Nevada, and flew up here. Full flight, little sleep, good to go. Happy to be in Reno.
Was it flights into Reno can be bumpy at times? Was it a smoother flight coming in here? Or did you have your bumps?
I fly probably like 40 times a year, so I just sleep through it pretty much now.
Used to it.
I like coming to Reno.
Very cool. So what age were you when you started kind of getting into fight promotion or started getting some hands-on training in that kind of world?
I actually got my start here in Reno. I went to college here, go Wolfpack, and I graduated in 2007, so I was probably like 24 years old, 25 started, and been doing it for the last 6 years. So we're on WFC 89 this weekend.
Yeah, very cool. Is this something that your family was kind of interested in, or is this something you kind of got in on your own, or how'd the interest get peaked in this?
Actually, the way it got started, I went to Joey Gilbert versus Jesse Brinkley. It was a rivalry fight here in Reno at the Reno Event Center. It was probably the last fight that sold out at the Reno Event Center, and they didn't have a lot of sponsors, and that's it was a Valentine's Day fight that I went with my now wife to, and so that's how it kind of got started.
Very cool. Is your wife a big fight fan, or did she kind of get into it when she met you?
She's a fight fan. We went to a fight on Valentine's Day, so it was pretty cool. But
she likes to see him fight. That's all that matters.
She's kind of done with it for the most part now, because I think we're about 100 shows deep now since then.
Yeah, absolutely. And then did you ever want to be a fighter? Do you ever have any interest in that, or are you mostly just interested in the behind-the-scenes kind of aspect of it?
I know we're on the radio, but I don't think I'd mess up this face. No, I make all the fights, so I've probably made a couple thousand fights. But being from a business perspective has helped the business be successful on a straight numbers thing.
Yeah, of course. And speaking of business, you being in the world of promotion, because this event in its own unique way has a lot of different disciplines. You get Muay Thai, you get Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, you get MMA. So between the world of promotion, what's kind of the biggest change that you've seen, kind of good or bad, in this world?
You know, people are getting better and better. The sport's evolving. People are, you really have to be a mixed martial artist. So, people don't – you see like Matt Hughes, former UFC champion, get mount on somebody and then you just pummel them. You don't ever see that anymore. It fairly rarely happens. It's just because people are getting better at jiu-jitsu, getting better at takedown defense, getting better at wrestling. So you'll see more and more athletes that have been training for, 10, 15 years as kids get into the sport. And you'll have athletes like John Jones who are like NFL bodies. He has two brothers that are in the NFL and he's dominating the sport, but you're going to see a lot more guys like that fighting in the future, so the sport's just going to get better and better. From a fan's perspective, we like seeing finishes, we like seeing knockouts, we like seeing chokeouts, and these guys are getting so good at it, the excitement's kind of gone down a little bit, I think.
Yeah, you never want to leave it in the hands of the judges. That's never too exciting of a fight to have that result go over.
Yeah, sometimes I want to say at the fighter meeting before the fight, half are you going to win, half are you going to lose. Either way, it's not my fault.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then I found that you did some boxing promotion as well, kind of in your past. What's kind of the difference between promoting those two, and do you have a preference for either one?
You know, boxing's taken a resurgence for sure. This year has been a huge year. Not only for us, but for boxing and for ticket sales in both MMA and boxing. So I think you'll see a real resurgent. We used to be majority MMA promoter, but now I think it's probably 60-40 on the amount number of events we're doing for boxing instead of MMA. So we've got two casinos in California now, one in Pittsburgh, one in Louisiana, that we just do boxing at, and then we're about to pick up two more in California. So it's really, I think, evening up right now.
Wow, yeah, because MMA really had pulled away there for a while. But, I mean, I've seen, like, the Terrence Crawford fights have really gotten a lot of exposure and a lot of hype around them. So you're seeing boxing kind of close that gap a little bit. And then when it comes to, because I mentioned all the different types of fightings that you can see on this show, how do you make the decision of kind of how many fights per discipline kind of make the card? So how many Muay Thai fights make it versus MMA?
So this is a huge card. You know, we usually do a casino venue. But since we're doing the Reno Aces Stadium, Greater Nevada Field, we kind of have unlimited seats and the amount. We don't need to get these guys in and out. And in Northern Nevada, jiu-jitsu is a very, very big community here. It's a very strong, really good gyms and instructors. So there's a lot of people who want to compete in super fights is what they call them in both gi and no gi. And so there's 10 of those matches. Two Muay Thai. Muay Thai was really getting strong about 2 or 3 years ago, so we added that to the MMA. And then we've got 10 MMA fights, two title fights. So those are 5-round fights, 185 title and 155 title. And they're both stand-up fighters type of fights, so it's going to be super exciting for the fans. So it's just kind of see what the interest is in the town, what sports. The gyms are really kind of push those because there's, you know, really strong Muay Thai gyms here in Reno, so that's why we added it in the stand-up fighting, which most people love. Jiu-jitsu is not my favorite, but you know, this community is really strong behind it, and we've got some high-level competitors. We got two former UFC guys doing some jiu-jitsu, two high-level, you know, I think three black belt matches. So these are the best of the best in this region, and it should be exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. Not an event you're going to want to miss. Do you have some title fight predictions there?
Between the two? Cameron Church and Matt Reed from California. Cameron Church is our Muay Thai champion. He's 10-0 in Muay Thai and 2-0 in MMA. He's got a big future. He's from South Lake Tahoe. I expect to be fireworks and someone's going to get KO'd. And the co-main event is a 185 title fight, John Mosby versus Stephen Lively. You know, Stephen Lively used to be our champion in a former promotion. He's coming off a long break, but he's like 9-2s, and John Mosby's undefeated from Reno. It's going to be a great fight. I think that's probably going to go the distance, and it's a pretty cool fight. Stephen Lively's donating all of his ticket sales commission to his brother, Matt Lively, who got hurt in a car motorcycle accident and lost his leg. So there's some cool stories. It's a good community. And the thing I like about coming up and doing fights here is it's a special event for everybody, the officials, the fighters, the fans, and then for us too. So that's what makes it nice. And when you're grinding and you're doing a lot of shows on the road, if it's special, it's not just a process. It makes a better night.
Yeah, absolutely. And then one more question before I let you go. You mentioned it. This is WFC 90. You're getting up there. You're getting kind of in that home stretch, getting close to number 100. Is there any kind of big plans or any ideas in the works yet for that event, or is it still a little too far off in the distance?
You know, we plan pretty far out. We've had a really strong schedule this year. We booked, I think, close to 20 events this year. And so I took my sales cap off, and I'm trying to gauge where 100 is. It's pretty cool. You know, we're probably the fastest growing fight promotion in the country. We've probably got to the 100 probably 4 times faster than UFC, but it's thanks to the UFC for laying the groundwork for fights because they have a great business. WFC 100, we were talking about doing it at the Cosmo in Las Vegas.
Oh, very cool.
CBS Sports Network. But it's just kind of gauging the time, and then it'd be kind of lame to plan something out and it ends up being 101 or 99 because there's a lot of deals that are kind of in the works. But it doesn't matter if it's 99, 100. We just do what we do and try to promote it. And we're super fortunate to have a lot of good casino partners and partners like Greater Nevada Field to promote our fights.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, not an event you're going to want to miss. If you're going back and forth in your head out there on whether or not you want to go or not go, check it out. It's not an event that you're going to see every weekend here in Reno. Tickets still available. If you want to get tickets, you can go to greaternevadafield.com. They're starting as low as $20. You're not going to get much more for your money than the fight card that Matt and these guys have planned for you. And if you're interested at all, they also have weigh-ins are happening today at 5:30, I believe, at the Zone at Harrah's Casino, which I believe is free and open to the public.
Yeah,
correct?
Free and open to the public. We'll have 44 fighters weighing in. Usually a couple hundred fans come out to it. There'll be food and drink, so come out and support. These guys really put in a lot of hard work, and this is at the peak of their weight cut, so they're not so happy, but yeah, it's going to be a good night. 22 fights for $20. It's less than a dollar a fight, so you really can't beat that. It's my lowest ticket price ever.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's one great deal for what's shaping up to be a heck of a night. But, Matt, thank you very much for coming in and talking to us this morning. Good luck with everything over the weekend, man. I'm sure it's going to go great.
Thanks for having me. Go Wolfpack.
All right, and that was Matt McGovern. Big thank you to him again for coming in and talking to us. He's got a lot going on. Weigh-ins, if you want to stop by, I believe they start in about 3 hours over at the Zone at Harrah's Casino. So if you want to go check that out, it's open and free to the public. And then don't forget, go online to greaternevadafield.com, get your tickets. And if you're interested in fighting at all, or if you're really trying to go back and forth, just go check it out tomorrow. What would it really hurt? If you buy the general admission tickets, which is $20, like he just said there, you're getting less than a dollar a fight.
Well, and you're not even just watching MMA fights. You're watching jiu-jitsu fights, Muay Thai fights, all these different things that most companies don't offer for you to watch. Like, Taekwondo fights are ridiculous.
Yeah, so it's going to be a lot. Plus, you get two title fights.
Exactly.
You can't argue too much about that. Two title fights for $20 and 20 other fights of different calibers and different levels. That's just a smorgasbord of awesomeness. So go check that out. But before we go to break, Sean, we got something for the people.
Well, speaking of World Fighting Championships, we have a pair of tickets to the World Fighting Championships at the Greater Nevada Field Hall on June 23rd, so tomorrow.
Yep.
Plus a 2-foot sub from Porta Subs as part of our celebration of being your sports station for 50 years with Lotus Radio.
And if you're going to call in, I want to preface this now. You got to be able to get here to the station by 5 o'clock this afternoon. That's 2.5 hours to get here and get the tickets, all right? But be the first caller, or no, be the number 9 caller at 775-333-0945. Talking World Cup and NBA draft after the break. This is the Spencer Wilson Show on ESPN Radio 94.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Spencer Wilson Show.
Yeah. All right. Welcome back inside the studio. Congratulations to Mark of Reno, who just won the WFC tickets and I believe Porta Subs food and whatnot. So that's very exciting. Congratulations, Mark. Enjoy it. Enjoy it out there tomorrow night, man. It's going to be one heck of an experience. So now that we've talked to Mac, or not, why do I keep wanting to call him Mac? It's one of my dog's names.
Everything with an M, right?
Yeah, I know. I'm having issues with his name today. Big thank you again to Matt for joining us in the last segment. So now let's talk a little bit about, we'll get to the NBA draft here in just a few minutes, but we haven't had a whole lot of chance to talk about baseball. We've talked a little bit about the Aces, a little bit about PAC, not about the MLB really, mostly because we've had NBA and NHL playoffs on the last couple months. World Cup just started up, so everything is kind of pushing baseball, depending on how you feel about sports. It's kind of pushing it down to the to the next level. So I thought we would just go quickly here, since we're approaching the All-Star break. I think we're 3 or so weeks out from the All-Star break, which is kind of the official halfway point. Thought we'd just kind of give a standings update real quick. So we'll start in the American League. We'll start with the East division. We all kind of thought it'd be a two-team race, and it pretty much is. The Yankees and the Red Sox are miles ahead of the other three teams. The Yankees currently have a two-game lead on Boston, mostly, I would imagine, because the offense has finally started to pick up. The offense, which so many people jumped on because Stanton had, 10 more strikeouts and he did home runs in the first 2 weeks of the season, and they went, hey, we're through 10 games, he's a bust. Oh, give him the other 152 and let's see if he can do something before then. And look at that, 2 months later, he's hitting home runs like nobody's business, and the Yankees are in first place. So no big surprise there. And then the Central Division, Cleveland, got a little bit of a gap here. 5 games up on Detroit, 6 on Minnesota. So that's all. They're all kind of hanging in there, looking for a space to make a move. All 3 of those teams are 6-4 in their last 10 games. Cleveland is on a 4-game winning streak. So they are the hot team right now. We'll see if they can gap that at all. And then in the West, what looked like it was going to be kind of a 3-team race, because Seattle, Houston, and the Angels have all held first place at some point in this season so far. The defending champs have kind of flexed their muscle a little bit. They have a 3.5-game lead on Seattle and a 9.5-game lead on the Angels, who have really fallen. It seems like ever since Ohtani went down, the Angels, like, just their attitude is kind of not there. Just seems like with Ohtani there, with that kind of attention they were getting, with how well they were playing with him, both at the plate and on the mound, Ohtani was doing great in both aspects. I think since he's gone down, they've kind of lost a little bit of that umph in their game. But Houston, 9-1 their last 10 games. They've got a +161 differential this year, so they're just scoring runs like nobody's business right now. And I think that's going to be the more interesting division as a whole to look at. Because, again, Yankees, Red Sox for the East, Cleveland's kind of flexing their muscle right now in the Central. So we'll see how Houston, Seattle, and the Angels can kind of manage their way to the All-Star break here. So that's kind of how the American League sets up. Quick look at the National League. The Mets, after having a relatively good start, have fallen all the way down to 4th. The Atlanta Braves, kind of out of nowhere, at least in my view, didn't really hear a whole lot about it. You thought, again, Washington coming out of the East, since they've been the team the last couple of years. You know, they haven't done nothing in the playoffs. But Atlanta with a 3-game lead right now, and Washington a 3.5-game lead on the Philadelphia. So we'll see. We'll see how that wraps up as well. Were you going to say something over there, Haley?
No, okay. You just said Jack nothing. I was like, good save.
Oh, yeah. No, I know. I did. I caught myself there. I was a little worried. Haven't cursed yet. Between the last show we had and this show, I think we're at, a total of like 20-something shows, and I have yet to curse. So it's good. None of us have cursed yet. That's a very good thing.
Knock on wood.
Yeah. Taking a look at the Central Division now, the Brewers and the Cubs kind of duking it out. The Brewers have a 1-game lead on the Cubs right now. The Cubs, ever since 2 seasons ago, I've just kind of hoped they've stayed in it. They've done a fairly nice job, but it just seems like, I mean, the whole Arrieta trade really caught me off guard. I didn't think he would leave Chicago. But And it's good to see them kind of hanging with it, and good to see the Brewers. Again, it's always fun to have those teams don't really expect in it to be in it. So it's fun to see what Milwaukee's going to do. And then the National League West, which has been an interesting kind of way of operation here. And starts that you've had, everyone expected the Dodgers to kind of come out of the gate fast and hard, seeing as how they're defending National League champions. Didn't really happen. They stumbled out of the gate. Like, to paint a picture, imagine you put a racing horse in the stable and they fall asleep, and you open the gate and they just kind of face plant into the dirt. That was kind of the Dodgers at the start of the season. They've rebounded very nicely, though. They're now just 2.5 games out of Arizona in first place. And Arizona, and again, being the Reno Aces farm system, or not, they're not the Reno farm system. Reno is the farm team to Arizona. But we've seen some of these players go up there and really make an impact a couple games. And really, it's been the whole Arizona team effort, I think, has really put them in first place in the National League West. And another team that's kind of looking good, the Giants. Mm. They were tripping up, and they're doing better. They're 500 right now. They're 38-38, which, if you would have asked me a month ago if they were going to be that a month from then, I would have said no way. So they're picking it up a little bit. And then the Rockies, who had a first-place lead, are now back in fourth. But if you look at this, first to fourth in the NL West is a 4.5-game separation. San Diego is kind of in their own doing their own thing in fifth place. So it'll be interesting to see all of that, because the National League West, I feel like, has been the most changing division throughout this season so far. So it'll be interesting to see if the Diamondbacks can really hold off this late surge by the Dodgers, who are 6-4, and so are the Diamondbacks, both 6-4 in their last 10 games. Mm-hmm. So you're a Giants fan, Haley.
Yeah.
You have any thoughts recently on how San Francisco's been doing?
Well, I mean, my one thing is, like, Giants pitchers in 6 to 8 weeks, name a more iconic duo. It's like you've got Hunter Strickland, who got upset that he blew a save, so he went and punched a door and fractured his pinky. You know, you've got Madison Bumgarner, who goes on dirt bikes and get hits by pitches.
Come on.
Yeah. I really feel like we need to wrap so many of our players in bubble wrap, because it's just kind of like, come on, guys.
Yeah.
And it's even like, I wonder Bruce Bochy after the game with Hunter Strickland is just like, really, dude? Like, really? You caused all that stuff last time with Buster Posey, or not Buster Posey, Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
And Nationals. Kind of caused, I still blame him for Michael Morse ending his career.
Yeah.
I still blame him for that. And now you're going to go and punch a door?
It's unfortunate. But we're going to keep our fingers crossed that the rest of the team keeps a level head and they just kind of keep charging forward here and getting themselves better throughout the season. So that's where baseball stands. Now let's take a quick look at the World Cup standings. So we're getting into the last 2 days of group play, or of the second round of group play. So 5 of the 8 groups have gone through 2 games. We'll kind of look at those 5 real quickly. So we'll look at Group A. Russia and Uruguay, they're through. They both have 6 points. Egypt and Saudi Arabia with 0. So Russia and Uruguay, as it'll have it, will play their final group game against each other, and basically Uruguay will have to win it outright. If they draw, Russia will have them on goal differential, so it's a must-win for Uruguay if they want to win the group. But Uruguay and Russia are through out of Group A, so very exciting for the hosts. I didn't think the hosts would make it through. They have proved me way, way wrong. And you get to Group B. Group B is a little more interesting. Spain and Portugal right now lead the way with 4 points. Iran is right there with 3 points. Morocco is mathematically eliminated, so it's basically, so Spain will play Morocco and Portugal will play Iran. So if you're Iran, you just got to beat Portugal and you know you're in. If they draw and Spain wins, then Spain and Portugal will go through. So if you're Iran and you want to make it through, you got to beat Portugal, and that's a lot easier said than done. Then again, Ronaldo's scored all 4 goals, so just stop Ronaldo. We'll see what Portugal can do. And then Group C, France has punched their ticket. They're automatically through. They have 6 points. Peru is mathematically eliminated. So really it's between Denmark and Australia and who will succeed there. And Denmark will play France. Australia will play Peru. So honestly, if I'm looking at that, I'm thinking it's probably going to be Australia. I don't think Denmark's going to beat France. So if Denmark loses, they stay at 4. Australia wins, they go up to 4. In which case, I think Australia would have to win by 3 goals to get their goal differential above Denmark's. But basically, if you're Australia, just win. That's going to be your best viable option in your last game.
If you're anyone, just win.
Just win. Yeah, it's usually a good strategy. Then we take a look at Group D as of right now. Croatia, again, they've punched their ticket with 6 points. This has been a very shocking group. So the last time that Argentina did not make the group stage, or did not make it out of the group stage, was in 2002. That was the World Cup before Messi arrived. Messi arrived in 2006 in Italy. Of his 4 World Cups, he has never missed the knockout stage. It is a must-win game for Argentina to make the knockout stage. So right now, Croatia automatically through with 6 points, Nigeria in second with 3 points, and Iceland and Argentina both with 1 point, but Iceland's ahead of Argentina on goal differential. So right now, Messi sits in last place. Let that sink in for a second. Messi is sitting in last place. If you would have thought that it was going to have to come down to a must-win game in the third game for Argentina, I would have called you crazy. And the fact that they have to play Nigeria in that game, Nigeria looked real good today against Iceland. Really good today against Iceland. So if I'm any kind of Argentinian fan, I am biting my fingernails for the next 5 days, wondering how this is all going to shake out. My jaw would hit the floor if Messi missed the knockout stage. That's just not something you would expect at all, especially if this is going to be his last World Cup. That's just going to be disappointing for him to go out on that note. And then Group E was the other group that kind of finished off today. Brazil, I believe they are. Yes, Brazil's in first. It's not completely updated yet. But Brazil's in first with 4 points. Switzerland is in second. They won today, so they have 4 points. Serbia in third with 3 points. And then Costa Rica is mathematically eliminated. So Brazil, I think, will get through. They do have to play Serbia in their last game. I think that's going to be real physical and real fun. But I think Brazil's going to make it through. And I think Switzerland beats Costa Rica, and they'll punch their ticket through as well. And then the other 3 groups, Group F, G, and H, over the next 2 days, they'll play their second group games. And then Monday to Thursday, they'll have 4 games each day to wrap up the groups. And I believe next Friday, a week from now, I believe is when the knockout stage will start. So that's where we are in baseball and in the World Cup. So everyone take a deep breath now. We got through it. Yes. everybody's all right. So now let's talk a little bit about the NBA draft, because that happened last night. I feel like it's always kind of funny when you watch the NFL draft, and it's this three-day, all-day spectacular. I mean, they got stages everywhere, they got cameramen everywhere, and to think that these guys hang around for 3 days to possibly hear their name, it's ridiculous. Then you watch the NBA draft, 3 hours, it's over, it's done. Two rounds, 60 picks, that's it. And I kind of like that because it makes it pretty unique and pretty, what's the word I'm looking for?
Efficient,
yeah, but like prized to be one of those 60 picks. Like if you look at football, 256 guys or something that get drafted. 60 guys, that's it. 60 get drafted into the NBA. I think that's really cool. So I get a little into it right now, talk about the teams, the team that I think did the best job. It's not Phoenix. I don't know if that surprises people the way I opened up the show. I'll talk about Phoenix in the next segment. But honestly, I think Dallas did some great things in the draft. I think they were really able to flex their muscle and understand what they're looking for. So I know it sounds like common knowledge to go, why wouldn't you draft players that fit in your system and play well? And I think, again, that kind of gets a duh response from a lot of people. But you take in consideration what all factors these guys are looking at, off-the-court issues. What are they like in the locker room? What are they like at practice? Not just how they play, how they interact with everybody in their community. And I feel like that can sometimes overwhelm their skill. Because obviously you want a guy that's not going to, you know, go out and trash the city. But you also don't want that to overshadow if he can actually step on the court with your team and make something happen, make a difference. Because I feel like you can help change his attitude. If you lose the player, though, there's no real guarantee you're going to be able to fill that spot. So I think Dallas did the best in their whole draft ideal and the way they went about it. So they drafted Trae Young with their first pick, but that was really just to conduct a trade with Atlanta, which is what they did. So Trae Young went to Atlanta. He's the very exciting guard. He was fun to watch out of Oklahoma. And in return, Dallas got Luka Doncic, the young, I think he's 19 years old, out of Slovenia. And they got him in that trade. And that's really huge because there was a lot of talk specifically that Rick Carlisle runs. It's called a flow offense. They think that he's really going to succeed in that. And then you look at the fact that he gets to play with Dennis Smith Jr., which is another really young guy. He's going to be in his second season. They can do a lot together. And then you get veterans like Dirk, J.J. Barea, Wesley Matthews. And I feel like this could really help Dirk Nowitzki because you got a guy who spends his whole career in Dallas. He's won a championship, and he's getting towards the end of his career. And I feel like they don't get less competitive, but they kind of just get into that rhythm of like an everyday thing, and you get kind of closer to the end of your career. Again, you don't get less competitive, but you kind of just go through the motions. I feel like you're going to be competitive because of your natural nature, but you're not doing the extra step. I feel like with Doncic coming in there, he could be that kind of, because sometimes you just need a young guy. He's going to be flying around the court, he's going to be trying to make plays, and that could just energize you. So I feel like for Dirk, this could be a kind of a little late of a resurgence and possibly kind of give him a very fun and exciting end to his career in Dallas, which really I think Dirk deserves to have. He's somebody that in a world where so many guys are so quick to jump, like Kevin Durant or LeBron James, and go to wherever you want to go to try and win a championship, Dirk has stayed in Dallas regardless. I feel like these kind of young players will give him an exit that he really deserves. And then Atlanta. It's going to be interesting to see how Atlanta operates with Trae Young, because they're going to go through him, and his operation in traffic makes me really nervous. Can he see his teammates in traffic? Can he shoot in traffic? I don't think he can at the stage he is right now, and that's going to mean a lot of frustration for Atlanta next season. But as I mentioned, Phoenix, and I'm going to get into Phoenix after the break. This is the Spencer Wilson Show on ESPN Radio, 94.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Spencer Wilson Show. It's time for My Two Spence Worth.
Four for four, Ann. Four for four. You're great. So the NBA draft, just talked about it a little bit with Dallas and Atlanta. Let's get to the team that I pledge my fandom to, a team that's driven me crazy for the last three seasons with their we're just going to lose attitude because we're going to draft players, but then we're just not going to, you know, we're not going to grow them, we're not going to build them, we're not going to develop them. We're just going to draft players and they continue to lose. So going into the draft last night, I was feeling much like I feel during any NFL draft, watching the Chargers make a mess of themselves. Just please, A, don't trade the number one pick away, which thank God they didn't. And two, just, I said A and two, that's good. B.
Take a deep breath.
Yeah, I know. And B, just get guys that you can actually build around and actually want to play. Build a team that wants to try and win. You're not always going to win, but you can try to, at least. And I feel like they made some really good steps last night. So the number one overall pick they used on DeAndre Ayton, who is a center out of Arizona, and I am super happy that they brought him here. A, because he's a freak of nature. He's 7 feet, 261 pounds. Yeah, I give up. So there's some great things about him. One, that he's, regardless of that size, he can actually move very, very well. He can shoot, he can pass very well for his size, and he can shoot very well from the mid-range also. But he's going to have to get a step quicker. That was one thing you saw guys when they were running up the floor would kind of leave him in the dust. So he's got to get a step quicker, and he's got to get comfortable being underneath the basket. He was kind of a 4-5 in college, and that worked. But Phoenix is going to need him to want to be underneath the basket, get rebounds, get gritty, and be tough underneath there because that's what they've been missing. Ever since Stoudemire left, they have not had a guy at center that can command the paint. So DeAndre Ayton, you got to get comfortable with being underneath, and you got to get comfortable with just not getting out to mid-range as often. I would say still do it, still be a threat out there, but you got to get more used to being in the paint and really working hard at the rim. And then their second pick, which is 16th overall, they used it on Zaire Smith out of Texas Tech, but that was really just to conduct a trade with Philadelphia, who they ended up getting Mikal Bridges, a small forward off of the national championship Villanova squad. Very efficient player. I think he was one of the top three most efficient players in Power 5 conferences last year. He's really improved on his shooting. And the one thing, being a small forward, you wouldn't expect a lot of good ball handling, but with the way forwards are playing now, especially threes in the NBA, he's going to have to work on his ball handling a little bit. He's going to have to be more aggressive. He's got to be okay with it being physical out there because he shied away from that a little bit. Not so much in the national championship game, which is good to know whenever a title is on the line or at least a big game. But you kind of saw it throughout the season. He'd kind of go in halfway, either stop or just kind of throw up a floater or something like that. So he's got to be okay with taking a little more physicality because the NBA game is getting more and more physical each year. And then they get to the second round. They use their first pick in the second round on L.A. Okobo out of France. Who is a point guard out of France. And again, great pace with the ball. That's what I loved watching Steve Nash. He was so quick on just getting up the court. He'd get it and he'd go and he'd run the offense. And I can't wait. I hope that they let Okobo do that because Devin Booker is going to need some help. You can't let Booker just run the offense by himself back there like you tried to do the last couple seasons. You got to let him get help. I feel like Okobo can give him help. And something that he's really been working on is his pick and roll offense. I watched some highlights of that, and it looks really good. And if you can get a good pick-and-roll offense down in the NBA, you're going to have a lot of fun. Especially if you got a guy like DeAndre Ayton or somebody setting that screen, then all the different options you have off that are going to be a lot of fun. And, again, we need to get Devin Booker a break. But something that he's got to work on is his defense, staying engaged. Because you watch some highlights of him, and he gets caught ball-watching or gets caught man-watching, and his guy slips right behind him. So he's got to stay engaged defensively. But ultimately, their final pick, which they got in a trade with Toronto, they drafted George King out of Colorado. And he's not going to be the biggest offensive threat. I think that's okay, though, seeing as how I just talked about the first three guys. That's really where majority of your new offense is going to come in from. What's so cool about George King is that he is a defensive specialist. He puts his nose down and goes. And he can defend up to four positions, really, in the NBA. He can guard both of your guards as well as your small forward. And if you've got a smaller four in there, he'll guard him as well. So overall, with this draft, very happy.
And just to top off that last note on George King, he also has the most normal name in the entire draft.
You do. We did see some interesting names out there this year. Because there's anytime you get foreign players in it from Europe or something like that, going to be some interesting names. But very happy, very excited to see. I just want a team that tries to compete. That's all I ask.
Just don't try to win a game.
Yeah. Don't make Ayton and Booker and all these guys go out there and put them up like they're some kind of great team and tell them to go lose.
Now, do you think Ayton and Booker are going to be Shaq and Kobe 2.0?
I'm going to hold on. I hope so. 2.0 in a sense that I don't feel like Ayton is going to be the big Shaq guy to move people out of the way. He's just going to jump over people. But I think they could be. I don't know if it's Kobe and Shaq as much as it is really like Nash and Stoudemire. I feel like if Booker can get a chance to not worry about being so much of a scorer and be more of a passer and be more of a floor. I mean, you don't want him to stop scoring, but just take some pressure off him. I feel like that could be more of a relationship. Right. But I hope it is. I hope we get that tandem, that inside-outside tandem between the two that just does great things. And it's going to be difficult. Obviously, you got Golden State that you got to play four times a year. So that's never going to be easy as long as Durant and those guys are all together. And depending on what the Lakers can do in the offseason, if Kawhi comes over, if Paul George comes over, if somehow they get LeBron as well, having to play them four times a year would also be awful. So fingers crossed the Lakers don't put all that together. And maybe Phoenix has some kind of chance to at least be competitive in the West, which, again, will probably just be dominated by Golden State. But that, ladies and gentlemen, that's the show. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter at @my2spenceworth.
You can follow me on Instagram at @that_soundguy_Sean. I got it correct this time.
There you go. Nicely done, Sean. Instagram and Twitter for me as well. And then, Haley, do you have any social media stuff you'd like to plug?
I've got an Instagram, Haley Clemens. It's just HaleyGhClemens. Super easy.
There you go. But get outside this weekend. It's going to be beautiful weather. If you're up for it, go see the WFC tomorrow night. Take that. If you can take in the weigh-ins, do that. If you can't do any of that, listen to the Aces on our sister station, 630, and just get out there and enjoy the weather this weekend, guys. We live in this great place for a reason. So get outside and enjoy it.
It's going to be hot all weekend.
Yeah, so bring sunscreen. Bring some cover. But, enjoy your weekend. Peace!
Peace.
ESPN Radio 94.5 FM, KUUB FM, Sun Valley, Reno.